I'm going to pray for you, Abby, and I'm also going to pray for us. But let's stretch out our hands towards Abby. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege that it is to worship you, Lord. It's a blessing. It's a privilege for us. And I just pray for Abby now. I pray that she might release a word in the Spirit this evening into our hearts, Lord. Release it in the name of Jesus by your Spirit. Release worship that might grow in our lives, I pray. Just bless her as she pours out, Lord. Bless us as we receive as well. Keep us alert, keep us sharp to lay hold of this word this evening as well, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Afternoon, evening, I don't know what you classify it, but anyway, great to be here. It's a real privilege to be able to share with you on this theme about worship rising. And as we spend the next bit of time looking at God's word and asking the Lord to speak to our hearts, we're also going to, hopefully you realize you can do this at any point, at any time, we are going to worship. And we're going to worship as we hear and as we respond to God's word this evening. And today we're thinking about our worship and prayer rising like incense. We've been looking at the different aspects of the temple, and we've come to the altar of incense. And we're going to think about our worship and prayer rising to the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, incense was presented as a smell that pleased God. It was something that he enjoyed the smell of. And on a daily basis, there was that release of worship to him in the temple. And incense was symbolic. It represented the prayer and worship ascending before God. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I listened to someone else talking about this passage, and they were really going into depth on this next point. But I don't know if you've ever thought about how smelly it would have been at this time in the ancient world, what it would have smelt like. You know, you have to think about it. There wouldn't have been deodorant. There were no air fresheners. The things that you rely on, the washing powder, the perfume you like to buy, you know, these things were not existent for the ordinary person at all. So the smell would be pretty bad. And if you contrast that with the smell of incense, there is something very powerful about the picture that we can lose in our context today a little bit, because you know, we kind of think, hopefully, you think the person next to you smells quite nice this evening, you're not too bad. Obviously, you've settled next to them, so it can't be that bad. But, you know, in the ancient world, perfume was a prized commodity. And that's why in John 12, you remember when the woman came and she anointed Jesus, and it talks about the fragrance filling the whole house. And it commented about how expensive that perfume was, because it's not like you and me picking up perfume while we're around the supermarket. Oh, I fancy that smell this week or that smell that week. It was very expensive. It was something that cost a year's wage. We're talking about something that was not usual. And when we come to this picture of worship that we're going to consider this evening, I want us to think about the fact that incense was this beautiful smell that contrasted with the smell around. It filled the house. It wasn't just any old fragrance that they fancied. It was something that pleased God. And throughout the next kind of 40 minutes or so, I want to build a picture that hopefully is relevant for each of us as we think about the priorities of worship and prayer in our own lives personally, in our lives together as communities, followers of Jesus. And so let me just read these verses, and I'm going to make up the pronunciation of some of these words. You can check out with Roger later whether I'm saying it right or not, or Debs, or whoever you like. But Exodus 30, let's just look at this incense, this aroma that pleased the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is Exodus 30, 34, I'm just going to read four verses. Then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourself spices, stacte, onycha, galbanum, spices with pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part of each. With it you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. You shall beat some of it very fine, and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I will meet you. It shall be most holy to you. The incense which you shall not make in the same proportions for yourselves. It shall be holy to you for the Lord. Whoever shall make any like it to use as a perfume shall be cut off from his people. something very specific that pleased the Lord. The combination that it was to be sacrificed to him. It was something that he was pleased with. And we know in the New Testament, the Lord talked to the woman at the well about worship. That there's going to be a day when his worshippers worship in spirit and truth. There was going to be a new combination that the incense symbolized. A combination that was going to be pleasing to the Lord. That was going to release an aroma where the Lord was pleased with what he heard. And it was not worship on this mountain or that. It was worship in spirit and truth. But it's to be exact. There are combinations as we come and bring our worship to the Lord that please him. And they are specific and they're holy. And so often, as we think about worship, our discussion as Christians in the Western world, maybe other parts of the world as well, it revolves around what we like. What we like, what we don't like. What kind of worship stream, which church, which we think we prefer, which we don't. And we can find that in Christian circles there are endless discussions about this, about our preferences for silence or for singing, our preferences for lively worship or reflective. And we like to get very, very assured in our preference. Well, I'm just not that kind of Christian. I've thought it all through. This is what I like. This is the way I like to worship. But as we come to this whole idea of a fragrance of worship, it is not about you and me. It is about a fragrance that is pleasing to the Lord. It's a total shift of perspective. It actually comes with faith that there is a fragrance that is pleasing to our God. There is something that gives him joy and pleasure and where he loves to presence himself right in the middle of it. And so what I'd like to do, just as we come to look more into this, we are actually going to have a song of worship. Ben is going to sing a song. And you may know this song, you may not. It's an old song, Ben, if you want to come up. If you don't know it, I just want you to sit and just receive and reflect. Let's just reflect in our own hearts and start to talk to the Lord about where our perspective in worship is. Let's offer up to him if we've become very self-orientated in our worship, our likes, our dislikes. Let's bring before the Lord the notion, the thought afresh. Oh Lord, I can please you with my worship. You can be pleased, you can be glorified. There's something that pleases you. Let's start to bring our own hearts. Let's not let this be a head exercise this evening. Let's not let it be we're satisfied with a few more thoughts. Let's ask the Spirit of God to come and to release that fragrance in our lives, in our families, in his church. If you know the words and you want to sing them, then just sing them quietly. But I encourage you, just receive and allow the Holy Spirit to start to move on your own heart, on your own spirit, as we go further into this concept, these ideas of praise and worship. Thank you, Ben.
May the fragrance of Jesus fill this place. Game. of Jesus fill my
life.
May the beauty of Jesus fill my
life.
Fill my thoughts, my words, my deeds, my all I give in adoration.
Let's just sing that first verse together, shall we? Let's just sing it out to the Lord from our hearts.
May the fragrance of Jesus fill this place.
Jesus, Lord, hear the cry of our hearts as we, Lord, say we want to return to you from our hearts this evening. We, Lord, want to hear your word into our hearts and lives. We want to say before you again, Lord, that your fragrance might be the fragrance released from our lives, that our worship might be a fragrance that pleases you. Lord, I pray for us, including myself, that, Lord, you would take us deeper into what true worship is. Open our spiritual eyes this evening, Lord, that we might see truths, that as you reveal them by your Holy Spirit. Take us from the superficial into your heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 4, verse 30 into chapter 5 says this: Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. You know the temple worship was focused on sacrifices of all kinds. And as we come to worship the Lord, we start to get a picture as we look into the New Testament of our lives being that sacrifice before him, that smell, that fragrance that's pleasing to him. And it is that element of sacrifice that releases the fragrance to the Lord. It is not simply our words or our songs or our playing of an instrument or our painting that releases that fragrance. It is something deeper. There is something spiritual happening. As we release our worship to the Lord, there is a spiritual reality going on that involves sacrifice. We come into the Lord's presence that way. We come into the Lord's presence that way, honouring the sacrifice of Jesus first and foremost, remembering his life laid down, in every way laid down, and meditating on it, considering it, looking at the fragrance that came out of Jesus, and from that place we say, oh Lord, and I lay my life down. I put my life on the altar afresh. I put my finances on the altar afresh. I put my songs, I put my heart, my loves, my things I adore, I put them on the altar, and Lord, I cry out to you, may there be a fragrance that is pleasing to you. Sacrifice is at the heart of worship. It's at the heart of worship that rises to the Lord. You know, Greg Boyd, he said this: in a world full of spiritual stench, we are to be the people that smell good before God. In a world full of spiritual stench, You know, we may think it's not so bad. I think that's where our worship can start to get very superficial, where we think the world is not so bad out there. You know, everyone has their own choice. I've chosen this pathway. Other people choose that pathway. And what happens when we come to worship? We find we don't find the Lord. We don't realize that spiritually speaking, there is darkness and light, that Jesus came to bring light. And as we worship him, it is a choice. It is a fragrance that's pleasing to God. And not every other way of living pleases him that way. That is our job. That is the good news that we carry, to go out into the whole world, that men and women can know you can live a life that's pleasing to God. You don't have to always be trying to strive to please other people. You can have it settled between you and God. But before that point, when people make that decision, there is a fragrance, a smell coming from our lives that is not what the smell the Lord wants. And he wants us to be those that are filling this world with the fragrance of Jesus. You know, I'm very grateful, and I really apologize. Almost every time Debs and I preach, we mention King's Kids, which is where we met, see, so we get a bit sentimental about it. But it was a youth outreach that still happens. It's part of Youth with a Mission. And one of the things they used to regularly do, actually every day, you wouldn't finish the day or you wouldn't go out on outreach until you had had some time. We called it heart prep. That's what they called it. You prepared your heart. So you had to ask questions of yourself, you know, have I offended anyone? Have I sinned? How have I spoken to people? And at the end of the day, we were trained, and it was training, to ask the Lord, Lord, have I done anything that pleased you today? Have I been pleasing to you? And equally, is there anything I've done today that has not pleased you? And as a teenagers, we were being trained spiritually to engage with the Lord that way. To actually understand, this is not just something we do. This is not just filling a few weeks in the summer. We are learning what it is to have a life that is on that highway of holiness that is pleasing to God. And to start to work out the answers, to start to interpret, am I right on that? Am I wrong on that? Did that please God? Didn't it? And that kind of life releases a fragrance to understand we can please God. But I was also thinking about one of the first things that happened at New Life, that I remember there were a number of supernatural things that happened at the beginning of New Life, and one of them was a lady in the congregation asked if we'd pray around her house. Actually, that used to happen all the time, and it still happens today, and hopefully that's something that we understand is actually quite important, spiritually speaking, to pray around people's houses when they come to the Lord. A lot of things had happened in this house. There was a lot of oppression. There'd been a huge amount of darkness. And we went to pray around the house, and that's what we did. Prayed in every room, anointed the wall in faith with oil around the house. And the father of her children came back that night, and he kept saying the same thing. He kept saying, So have you changed the cleaning product that we use? So what cleaning product have you used today? What was that you've done in the bedroom? What's that smell? What is that around the house? What is that? And he would just kept going on and on and on. What is that product that you've used? Because he could actually smell that the atmosphere had changed. The spiritual atmosphere had changed. You see, there are spiritual realities we must not dismiss in life. In the world we live in, everything is very fleshly. Everything is very about our feelings. It's about money. It's about possessions. It's about how we judge one another with our own eyes. That is the world we live in. And sometimes it desensitizes us to spiritual realities. And bit by bit, we lose faith and confidence to understand there are spiritual principles. There are spiritual realities. And our God is a God who is wanting to release a fragrance that changes things, that changes situations. He wants that fragrance to be released to him, and he can do that through prayer, through worship, through our lives laid down before him. You know the verse, Romans 12, you know this verse well. Paul said, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. We can lead lives that are pleasing, acceptable to God, and it matters. It matters how we live, and God wants our lives to release that kind of fragrance to him. I wonder if you ever contemplated, as you're worshipping, where is your attention? I wonder whether your attention is always on what we're singing. Is it on the words? Is it on the truth that lies behind those words? Is our attention on Jesus? Are we sensitive? Are we discerning what is happening behind the physical reality of us all sitting in a room singing the same song? Do we understand the spiritual realities? Do we have our eyes open to it? You know, on a recent leadership weekend that we have in Ichthus, we were looking at the angelic and angels and the spiritual realities, and it was truly fascinating time. But the following Sunday, I don't know if Stephen had been there, I don't know if he talked to his daughter Kyla about it, but in the middle of the service, she came up to me at the front, she said, "Abby, I've just seen an angel over there. I've just seen an angel over there at the front. Just right there, there was an angel." And then she went back to her seat and sat down. But you see, we have been praying. I'd asked everyone to pray for the new building that we meet in at New Life, that the Lord would blow through that place, that it would be able to become a place of worship. And we prayed that. And do we believe when we pray the Lord wants to answer? Do we know how to pray prayers that are in line with his will and purpose? Do we understand the spiritual realities of what the Lord wants to do? So it should not be a surprise that there starts to be the activity of the supernatural, because we've prayed, and we've prayed with faith. We haven't just prayed with words. We haven't just prayed, well, that's what Christians do. We've prayed with faith, with our hearts open to the Lord, wanting to see more and more of his presence among us. Already today, Joel and Roger have mentioned, as they've been talking and praying, concepts like this that Paul talked about. Do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You know, the spiritual realities that, compared from the Old Testament to the New Testament, are absolutely mind-boggling. If we understand what it meant to come into God's presence in the Old Testament and to have worship and the Lord fill the temple and for his presence to be there, and then the Lord, as we get to the New Testament, is starting to show us, actually, you yourselves, I want you to be a place of sacrifice, a place that's clean, because now I want to dwell in you. And also, I want to dwell in your people. We're going to think in my people. We're going to think about that in a moment. You know, I don't know if any of you read this. This book was, I remember when I was younger, it was promoted quite a lot. And I read it a couple of years ago. And it's a book called I Dare to Call Him Father. I don't know if any of you remember it. I encourage you to get hold of it. It's a beautiful, incredible story of a Muslim woman who comes to know the Lord with virtually no influence from outside. And she explains how the Lord took her on this journey of discovering who he was. And there were certain people who he used, missionaries, in her life. But I just want to read you some extracts in her own words. Bear with it. Sometimes she names people. That's just people who are families who have helped her. But let's start to just get to the heart of what's going on in this woman who's come from no place knowing the presence of God, starting to understand who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, what it really means to worship him. So she talks about having two vivid dreams, and she was asking herself the question, were they related to each other? Were they related to my recent brush with the realities of the supernatural world? This is before she gave her life to the Lord. Then she says, that afternoon, I went for my usual stroll in the garden. I was still bemused by my dreams, but now something else was added. It was as if I felt a strange delight and joy, a peace beyond anything I'd ever known before. It was as if I were close to the presence of God. Suddenly, as I stepped out of a grove into a sun-flooded open area, the air around me seemed to be alive with another lovely fragrance. It wasn't the fragrance of flowers. It was too late for any of that kind in my garden. There was nothing in bloom, but it was a real fragrance nonetheless. In some agitation, I returned to the house. Where did that fragrance come from? What is happening to me? Who could I talk to about it? It would have to be someone who had a knowledge of the Bible. She goes on to talk more. And then, after she'd come to the Lord, this is how she describes the next step in her journey. As I drew a little closer to God, here a step, there a step, I found myself hungering even more for his word through the Bible. Every day, as soon as I arose, I'd begin reading it with a never-failing sense of nowness. The Bible became alive to me, illuminating my day, shedding its light on every step I would take. It was, in fact, my lovely perfume. But here, too, I found a strange thing. One day, Mahmood and I were going to see his mother for the day. I was late getting to bed the night before and really didn't feel like getting up at dawn to have an hour with the Bible. So I told Rasham to wake me with my tea just before we were supposed to set off. I didn't sleep at all well that night. I tossed and twisted and had bad dreams. When he came in, I was exhausted, and I noticed that the entire day just didn't go right. Strange. What was the Lord saying to me? That he expected me to read his Bible every day? That was the second time when I seemed to be stepping out of the glory of the Lord's presence. But the experience, nonetheless, left me with a strange sense of excitement, for I had the feeling that I was sitting on an important truth without realizing it. There were times when I was in the presence and experiencing that deep sense of joy and peace, and there were times when I lost the sense of his presence. What was the key? What could I do to stay close to him? I thought back over the times where we had seemed unusually close, way back in my two dreams and the afternoon when I sensed that exquisite fragrance in my winter garden. I thought about the first time I'd gone to the Mitchell's house, about the later times when I'd read my Bible regularly and gone to the Sunday meetings at the old house. Almost always these were times when I knew the Lord was with me. And I thought about the opposite times too, moments when I knew that I had lost this sense of his nearness. How did the Bible put it? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Is that what happened when I scolded the servants? Or when I failed to nourish my spirit with regular Bible reading? Or when I just didn't go to the old house? Part of the key to staying in his company was obedience. When I obeyed him, then I was allowed to remain in his presence. I got out my Bible and searched in John until I found the verse where Jesus said, "When a man loves me, he follows my teaching. Then my Father will love him, and we will come to that man and make our home within him." That's the Bible's way of expressing what I was trying to say. To stay in the glory, that was what I was trying to do. You know that verse, Ephesians 4. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, to whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Someone wrote about worship. "Any sort of casual assumption that whatever we do sincerely is as valid in heaven as it may be enjoyable on earth finds no endorsement in the Bible." The Lord wants us this evening to come and reflect on our worship, to not just consider it as just this thing that we do, but to come and reflect on what is happening in our spirit, what is happening in our heart. Have we lost his presence? How has that come about? To regain our sensitivity to the work of the Spirit, our sensitivity to his presence, because he is still wanting to fill the temple with his fragrance. He is still wanting to fill our lives with his Spirit. But at the same time, he calls us to work with his Holy Spirit and to understand it is a very true reality we can grieve the Spirit. Sometimes in our selfishness, in our lack of obedience, in our own ways and putting our own desires first, and before we know it, he's gone and we wonder, oh, what happened? Oh, well, it must be we're singing the wrong songs now. If we were singing the songs I like, I'd be able to get into God's presence. Oh, it must be this or that that's changed. But no, he is the same Holy Spirit who loves to fill his temple, loves to fill our lives. He's calling us to ask the deeper question that this new believer was grasping spiritually in the middle of a Muslim nation without any help apart from the Holy Spirit. She was grasping it, that I can actually step out of his presence, that I can grieve the Holy Spirit, and that actually we need to repent and turn and welcome him back in, that he is sensitive. He can be grieved. But he wants to rest with us and dwell with us. You know, John Wesley said this about sung worship. "Above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing him more than yourself or any other creature. In order to do this, attend strictly to the sense of what you sing. And see that your heart is not carried away with the sound, but offered to God continually. So shall your singing be such as the Lord will approve here and reward you when he comes in the clouds of heaven. He's saying, attend to the spiritual realities. Don't just live in the flesh in your worship. Actually, crucify the flesh. Allow the Spirit to move in your heart and life. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but let's offer that deeper worship. As we worship, we need to be sensitive to the fact the Lord might prompt you about something. The Bible talks about it. He might prompt you that actually you're holding unforgiveness in your heart towards someone else. Don't just push it down like you do every other day, just trying to get by, just push it away, lock the door. Oh, it doesn't really matter. No, that's the work of the Spirit. If you want to come into his presence, give it to him. Sacrifice to him. Give it to him, your hurts. Give him your pains. Give the things that come into your mind. Surrender yourself. It's part of the reason the Bible talks about preparing yourself for corporate worship. Actually, do that before you gather. The idea is that we are worshipping and surrendering ourselves as a daily habit. We are cleaning our lives out. We're letting that pleasing aroma come before the Lord. We're not pushing down the bits that are uncomfortable. We're not pushing out and trying to blot out the things that we just wish hadn't happened. No, we're bringing it. We're living open lives. Why? Because we want to have that pleasing aroma to him. We want to honour him. We want to lay our lives before him. We want to allow the Lord to move amongst us. Let's get rid of the things that are smelling up our lives, stinking up our lives, causing our lives to not release that fragrance. And let's go deeper. Let's appreciate sometimes those things come to the surface as we're in an atmosphere of worship. What do we do in those moments? Well, the Bible says, go and make it right with your brother and sister. Let's make it right. Let's make things right. Let's bring it to the Lord so that we can release a fragrance because there are spiritual realities at stake. I've just asked Ben if he'll come and sing at this point a song over us. And it's a song, we're not going to have the words up on the screen. We have sung it before. It's one of Ben's songs. But it's a very personal song. And again, let's just bring before the Lord whatever he's putting on your heart, whatever he's speaking, offer it to him. If you do want to sing some of these words, you think, oh, that is what I want to say to you, Lord, then feel free to sing. But just allow, maybe some of us just need to soak in the truth this evening. And just let some of this fleshly, superficial living, just allow the Lord to break it off our lives, to crucify it, so that the spiritual realities of what God wants to do amongst us can become evident. Thanks, Ben.
Lead me up, Lord, to your mountain. Let me come within the cloud. Give me clean hands and a pure heart. May my feet find holy ground. As your favor rests upon me, show your glory, Lord, I pray. Hide me in the rock of ages. On your mountain I will stay. Face to face, I love to be in your presence, in your presence. Face to face, where I am free, in your presence, in your presence. Brought to kneel in adoration, hands held high in loving praise. Worship rises, sweetest incense, as your glory fills this place. Earth and heaven, sweet they mingle, lost in awe, what can I say? May my heart be ever fixed. Help me now.
Heaven, sweetly mingle. Help us understand the place of worship and prayer and sacrifice as a place where earth and heaven mingle. Just before we are going to sing together in response, I just would like us to turn to Luke chapter 1, often a passage read at Christmas time. I'm just going to read verse 5 down to verse 15. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." Here we have, right at these prophetic chapters, right at the beginning of Luke, where the temple features quite strongly, here we have this incredible experience of earth and heaven mingling at the altar of incense, at the place of prayer. And this would have been an honour for Zacharias. It would have been a once-in-a-lifetime honour to come into this place. And we are to understand that he would have been praying for the redemption of Israel in this place. He wouldn't have been praying his own personal prayers. He would have been praying for Israel, for the nation. That was the role that he took. And while he was praying this prayer, the angel reassures him that his personal prayers have been heard. That as the prayers he's offered to the Lord in private, maybe him and Elizabeth, their personal altar, if you like, their family altar, their marriage altar of praise and worship and prayer, as they've been talking to the Lord about this need, and the Lord has heard it, and here at the altar of incense, there's this revelation that your prayers have been heard. Not only that, in the context of the bigger picture being answered, Jesus is coming. The redemption of Israel, the Messiah, here he is, he's coming. And in that context also, these other prayers have been answered. And I'm seeing it like this huge release of the incense to the Lord, and all these small prayers being caught up on it, as this huge prayer is being offered in the right way, in a way that's pleasing to God. They were righteous people, and as it's being offered, also they're being given the revelation that on that incense rising goes their personal prayers. They've been heard by the Lord, and there comes the answer. I love it in the prayer community so often. Faith will encourage us to just bring name people before the Lord in the context of worship and prayer. Name people because it's this picture that they are rising before the Lord on the incense, on the flow of worship. Worship and prayer from a pure heart in righteousness and goodness and truth is powerful. It's where heaven and earth mingle. There is a powerful moment where the life of God can break in if we will expect it. If we will look for spiritual truths and realities, if we will, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, even in the face of hardship, keep our hearts open to the Lord, keep our lives pleasing to Him, keep our hearts open to the Lord's voice in our life, that we can hear His voice. We know Zacharias, he struggled and he was mute for a time because it was hard to receive that, but he heard it. The angel came and spoke it. The challenge for us is to live those righteous, holy lives when everything doesn't work out in the time scale that we had it, but to keep our hearts right before the Lord, because those prayers are rising as we are a worshipping people before the Lord. He hears the cries of our hearts. I was, as preparing this, thinking about numerous occasions, which I won't go into now because it'd take too long, of where I've felt this happen. Where I've been in an atmosphere of worship that has felt very clean and pure, and you can feel that it becomes a place where heaven and earth are mingling, and sometimes you physically feel it in your body, that you can hardly restrain yourself because you can feel that something that is not of the natural order is breaking into your life. Sometimes you hear something from the Lord you hadn't been expecting to hear because heaven, the Lord is close. I remember in a worship time at New Life, we were just thinking about it recently. Last year, we had a worship time, and all of a sudden, on my heart came to pray for the Chibok schoolgirls in Nigeria, and to pray for them. And, you know, I mean, you know, I hadn't particularly been praying lots in private, but I felt a burden in the place of worship. We need to bring this before the Lord. I'm not going to tell him how to do it. I don't know, but I feel like we need to bring this situation before the Lord. Nothing had been heard for months and months. It was May last year. And so we just prayed. I said, look, church, this is what I feel in this place of worship. We need to pray. We need to lift this on this flow of worship. We need to lift it to the Lord. And we did, and we prayed in faith. And the next day, I got texts from loads of people at New Life because all of a sudden in the news, was it 2 or 3 schoolgirls had been released, had been found, totally unexpected. There'd been no news for months and months. Now, we just joined with prayers of many, many others. I'm not saying it's all because of us, but there is something powerful. If we will open our spiritual eyes, when we come and bring worship from a pure heart to the Lord, sacrificially before Him, we can bring, the Lord will prompt us to bring prayers that are pleasing to Him because He's at work and He's wanting to work through His people. You know, just before we come and just bring our own lives and our own worship lives before the Lord afresh, I can't avoid thinking about the phrase that many of you have probably heard, that Celtic Christianity, and those who've been looking to recover Celtic Christianity, talk about the thin place, and that they used to experience of this place where heaven and earth are mingling. And I was just looking up again, just refreshing my mind about this thought, and I was reading about a Bible scholar who was obviously getting a bit fed up with hearing about thin places left, right and centre, and he was kind of like, you know, what is this all about? But he was expressing, it was more like a blog of his kind of journey, and he said some things that I just want to share with you because I think they help in this context of where he was getting to, understanding biblically what is this thin place. I want to suggest it's this kind of place we saw with Zacharias here. If that, these are the places where heaven and earth truly mingle. He said this, if Jesus was truly the Word of God incarnate, then He is without question the thinnest of all thin places. In fact, in Jesus, the barrier between heaven and earth wasn't just thin, it was completely non-existent. Heaven, if you will, broke through the barrier and came to be present on earth. If we wish to experience God in a genuine and intimate way, then this will happen in and through Jesus. Though He is not here with us in the flesh, He is with us in spirit, or better yet, in the Spirit. When Jesus was no longer present on earth, he sent his Spirit upon his people. From Pentecost onwards, the church was to be the thin place of the world. In the gathering of God's people, God's presence would be available to all. And as the church scattered into the world, it permeated the world with these thin places, so all people might experience the grace, love, and presence of God through his people. Didn't Jesus say, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst"? What does it truly mean to us? What does that scripture mean to us? Has it become superficial? Or do we actually believe that God actually wants to dwell amongst us, his presence among his people, like this beautiful fragrance that comes from lives that are sacrificed, laid before him? You know these verses in 1 Peter 2. "Coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." If there was any verse worth meditating on, meditate on that. What does it mean? Do we believe it is the hope of the world, God's people, full of his presence, where he's dwelling amongst us by the power of his Spirit? You know, I'd like us to come to the Lord in response. There's lots more I had on my heart to say, but let's just allow the Lord to speak into our hearts. I wonder, when was the last time in our hearts we lay our lives prostrate before the Lord? Not just physically, but spiritually. We lay ourselves on the altar. We allowed ourselves to come before him, open, vulnerable. That we asked the Lord, "Lord, make me sensitive again to your Spirit. If in any way I've grieved your Spirit, Lord, reveal it to me, because I want to welcome the work of your Spirit in my life. Lord, if I tell little lies, if I don't speak the truth, Lord, if I've got anger or bitterness or unforgiveness in my heart, Lord, if I've got pride or arrogance, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. I want to give my life again as a sacrifice to you." Let's ask the Lord to make our lives that smell, that fragrance to him. Ben's going to come and lead us in a song of worship and sacrifice to the Lord. I'm just going to pray. Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are our Saviour. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your church, your true people, your spiritual temple, Lord, the place where you love to dwell. And Lord, we want you to cleanse us and wash us from our Western, materialistic, superficial mindsets. Oh Lord, forgive us. Lord, take us. We want to understand more of revelation of the deep truths, the spiritual realities of what you want to do, of what pleases you, of what looks good to you, Lord. We want to lay everything else on the altar. Take it away. Lord, burn it up, Lord, that we might release from our lives a fresh fragrance, personally and corporately, that pleases you. Lord, we want your presence among your people. Oh, Lord. Oh Lord, forgive us for pointing the finger. Lord, help us to allow the depth of conviction of your Spirit for the sake of your gospel, for the sake of your Son who gave everything, the ultimate sacrifice, that we can follow in your footsteps. Amen.
King of kings.